wait while you are joined to the conference. The conference is now being recorded. Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the UTI Asset Management Company Limited Q4 and FY21 earnings conference call. From the management we have with us, Mr. Imtiazur Rahman, CEO and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Surajit Saha, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vinay Lakotia, Head Operations, and Mr. Sandeep Samsi, Head Investor Relations and Corporate Communications. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Imtiazur Rahman for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Malika, for the wonderful introduction. Good afternoon, friends. It is my great honor to welcome you all to this conference call for the financial performance of our company for the quarter ended March 21 and for the financial year ended 2021. I trust that you and your families are safe and taking adequate care in this difficult time. As regards the present situation in the country, after a very difficult 2020, the year 21 began with new hopes, and there was a substantial reduction in the number of COVID cases in the country, along with progress in the vaccination drive. Unfortunately, the COVID-19 cases increased once again across the country, putting stress on our medical system. At UTIAMC, we strive for growth, and we are taking all possible steps for ensuring a smooth business operation. By enhancing digital experience and for the safety of our all stakeholders, whose well-being is always a matter of great concern for us. Economy. we are witnessing that in spite of uncertainties, the market are buoyant. With increased participation from retail as well as institutional investors, it is encouraging that IMF has recently raised its growth forecast for the Indian economy by 100 basis points to 12.5% for the financial year 21-22. This growth projection is the highest amongst emerging and advanced economies. The World Bank also has scaled up its projection by 470 basis points to 10.1% due to a strong rebound in private consumption and investment growth. This will make India as the fastest growing economy in the world. So far as mutual fund industry is concerned, the industry is steadily maturing with increased geographical spread and broadening of investor base. We believe that AMCs that have a strong retail brand, large distributor network, and significant presence in beyond 30 cities will have advantage for growing faster. I'm glad that your company is well positioned on all these fronts to claim the growth. The Indian mutual fund industry has grown from 5,92,000 crore as on March 31, 2011 to 31,42,764 crore as on March 31, 2021. More than five-fold increase in AUM, growing at a CAGR of approximately 20% in a decade. For financial year 2021, the asset under management for the mutual fund industry grew by 41%, and the asset under management is 31,42,764 crore. It is important to note that corporate bond funds were the biggest attraction for investors and witnessed a net inflow of over 69,000 crore during this financial year. While credit risk fund witnessed the continued outflow. With an equity-oriented scheme, sectoral or thematic funds recorded the net inflow of over 9,800 crore. Net equity ETF inflows stood at 39,800 crore, thereby witnessing a growth of 88% in its assets over the last year. Similarly, gold ETF inflows were at 6,900 crores, witnessing a 78% growth in assets over the last financial year. So far as UTI is concerned, during the year, your company adapted to the changing situation and continued with the business strategies and operations unhindered. As a landmark, we successfully completed the listing of the company and welcome our valued retail and institutional shareholders in our company. We restructured the sales and marketing department. We increased focus on distribution, increased our digital outreach, improved our fund performance, incorporated ESG processes, and reviewed and strengthened credit research processes, and put in place the policies and governance system which is required for a well-run and well-governed company. The National Stock Exchange included the equity share of UTI AMC in the Nifty 500 index with effect from 1st March 2021. The market share growth in comparison to the industry is better. We are gaining market share in equity categories. This is visible in incremental market share, though it is impacted by net outflow for the industry and also for the maturity of the closed-ended scheme. But we have outperformed the industry. Stabilization and turnaround in income fund performance and regained lost market share. added investor portfolios, expanding distribution through bank and fintech, as well as through digital onboarding. The NFO of UTI Small Cap Fund was a great success, as well as we had organized UTI Colloquium, in which over 6,500 people attended. So far as UTI Mutual Fund AUM growth is concerned, it was a very good quarter in terms of gain in quarterly average AUM. The quarterly average AUM of March 2021 stood at ₹1,82,853 crore, as against ₹1,65,359 crore as of December 2020. You are aware that our average AUM as on March 31, 2020 was ₹1,51,513 crore. We recorded a quarter-on-quarter growth of 10.6% as compared to the industry of 8.1%. I repeat, we registered a quarter-on-quarter growth of 10.6% as against the industry growth of 8.1%. So far as yearly growth is concerned, we registered a growth of 20.7% as compared to the industry growth of 18.8%. This resulted in a gain of market share from 5.56% to 5.69% during the quarter. The UTI Mutual Fund quarterly average AUM growth during this quarter was the second best in the industry, or was the second best among the top 10 mutual funds. The closing AUM as of March 2021 was 1,76,797 crore, as against 1,73,708 crore as of December 2020. The same, and the number for the March 2020 for the closing AUM was 1,17,808 crore. The growth was 50% on year-on-year basis as compared to the industry growth of 41%. This has also resulted in the gain of market of our market share from 5.29% to 5.63%. The quarterly average AUM of our equity fund stood at 50,750 crore, rising by 16.2% on quarter-on-quarter basis, and 32.9% year-on-year basis. Our market share in equity and debt funds has also increased as of March 2021 in comparison to the last quarter. During the financial year 2021, UTI Mutual Fund was able to capture 6% of the overall industry net inflow and also saw a revival in the income category of scheme, posting a net inflow of over 1,203 crore as compared to the net outflow of ₹14,137 crore during the preceding financial year. The total inflow of UTI AMC continued to remain positive at ₹2,659 crore during the quarter, excluding the liquid fund where we witnessed the net outflow. An important development for us to note that the high percentage of our growth sells under equity fund. This is the first time almost in 8 years that in the month of March 2021, our equity gross sales as a percentage of the industry gross sales exceeded 6.5%, as against the average growth of 3 to 3.5%. In order to pick up the sales momentum for our fixed income schemes, UTI Mutual Fund decided to open the subscription from June 2020 onwards under a few of our flagship funds, which were affected by the credit issues. There were a visible improvement in the performance of our income schemes. As a result, we registered a net sales of ₹473 crore. In the quarter 2, 2,436 crore in the quarter 3, and 429 crore in the quarter 4. Accordingly, we have witnessed a positive net sales in income schemes in all the quarters post opening of subscription in this scheme. We are confident that with improved performance and great distribution reach, our flagship schemes like UTI Corporate Bond Fund, UTI Short Term Income Fund, and UTI Treasury Advantage Fund would be able to regain the AUM. UTI Mutual Fund Invest Portfolios also grew to 1.1 crore as of 31st March 2021, as against 1.09 crore as of 31st December 2020. Individual investors contribute to about 48% of the total closing AUM and 92.5% of our equity closing AUM. We are happy to share that as of March 2021, 23% of our total monthly average AUM comes from beyond 30 cities, as compared to 16% for the industry. And we continue to maintain our position in these cities. UTI Mutual Fund added 5.52 lakh new SIP accounts in the year, a jump of over 62% in comparison to the previous year. We also would like to highlight that during the quarter, we added 2.42 lakh new SIPs as compared to 48.05 lakh added by the industry with a market share of 5.03%. UTI also saw traction in SIP gross inflows during the financial year 2021 to the tune of Rs. 3,192 crores, witnessing an increase of approximately 8% as against industry degrowth of around 4%. Our focus on increasing our share of wallet with banks and national distributors has started to reap results, and we are seeing good traction there, of course, on the background of good performance. Our alliances with PNB and Bank of Baroda have started yielding results. So far as the company financials are concerned, as regards to the company financials, our efforts to increase our market share are along with a strong net inflows and cost control measures has helped us to perform well during the fourth quarter. The company posted a consolidated net profit of Rs. 134 crore, a rise of 626% as compared to the corresponding quarter of the last financial year. For the full year, ended 2021, consolidated net profit was 494 crore as against 271 crore last year. Our consolidated net profit as of March 31, 2021 was 494 crore as against 271 crore in the previous year. Our operating profit margin has also improved to 13 bps as against 12 bps in the previous year. We are pleased to announce that along with our PAT margin, our return of equity has also touched 3-year high with ROE touching 15% for financial year 2021. During the year, the company took stringent cost control measures, due to which the standalone other expenses came down to Rs. 108 crores as against 115 crore in the previous year. Few financial highlights of the consolidated financial highlights. During the financial year 2021, UTI's revenue from operation was at 1,170 crore, up by 37% from the last year. The profit before tax was at 603 crore, up by 77%. And the profit after tax was at 494 crore, up by 82%. The quarter four financial year 2021, revenue from operation was at 289 crore. Up by 112% in comparison with the fourth quarter of the previous financial year. The operating expenses was 101 crore, lower by 12% in comparison to the quarter four of the previous financial year. The profit before tax also grew by 11x. and the profit after tax grew by 6.5x. Friends, I'm happy to inform you the board of UTIMC has approved a payment of dividend for the financial year 2021. It is proposed to pay, I repeat, it is proposed to pay a dividend of 17 rupees per share for the financial year 2021, as against rupees 7 per share paid for the last year. I repeat, it is proposed to pay a dividend of 17 rupees per share for financial year 2021, as against rupees 7 per share paid in the previous financial year. In terms of percentage of PAT, it would be 61.29% for the financial year 2021, as against 28.70% for the last year. We have uploaded a very detailed presentation on our website and the website of our of the stock exchanges of the country, BSE and NSE. Friends, we have the right processes in place. We have the right people in place. And we are fully committed to deliver the consistent performance to our investors. We are fully committed and working very hard to ensure that we capture the growth not only in the beyond 30 cities, but also in the top 30 cities. We have put in place a very strong digital framework. And we are the only company which has got the board-level digital transformation committee. We are putting in our resources to capture the growth which comes from the digital strategy. Our human resource policy is and will continue to be our employee friendly. We have decided as a company to increase the paternity leave for our young employees from 7 days to 15 days, from 1 week to 2 weeks. We are committed to work hard to ensure that we add value to our shareholders and all stakeholders. I have with me, as was introduced by the moderator, my colleagues, Mr. Surjit Saha, the CEO of the company, Mr. Vinay Lakhotia, the head of operations, and Mr. Sandeep Samthi, the head of investor relations, to answer this question. At this particular point of time, I wish you and your family, the entire country, and the entire humankind, good luck, and God must provide safety to us from this corona. With this, I will stop here, and will be very happy to take any questions which comes to. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sahej Mittal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So firstly, I was just going through your profit and loss statement. So I see that, you know, while employee costs have, you know, reduced for the particular quarter, but other expenses have gone up sharply in 4Q. So just want to understand, are there any one-offs in this particular quarter, or is this the kind of trajectory we'll be seeing in the future years? Second was on the CFRDA update. So we filed RSP in the last quarter. So what is the update on that, and what are the yields we are seeing on that business? And thirdly was on the VRS scheme. You last time highlighted that you will be taking a call in the March 21 board meeting. So any update on that?
What is your second question?
Last time filed RFP for our PF with PFRDA for our UTI retirement solution business.
Okay.
So are there any update on the? Is there any update on it? What are the yields we have finalized on that business? So
yes. We have been. So let me take your question number two first, which is very easy. We have been appointed as one of the fund managers of PFRDA, and the fees in the public domain, it is going to a very good profitable business for us. We have been appointed as a fund manager. Hope this answers the question. So far expenses are concerned, the two pieces of administrative expenses, and I see that our expenses has not increased at all if you compare with the previous financial year. The last year our operation cost was 106 crore and it is 99 crore. My CFO will take this question, he will answer to that, and the third questions I will take. So CFO, on administrative expenses, please answer the question.
Yeah, your specific question was regarding Q4 20 and Q4 21, where you see a jump of around 17 crore amount. That is one stay cases, because you know that on the 21st of January 2021, the CSR rule came that unspent amount also needs to be accounted. So based on that, 9 crore we had to charge off to our expenses. And apart from that, due to some digital initiatives which we have taken, which payments on a routine basis, on annual payments came on March. These are the two prime reasons why you see an increase of expenditure in Q4 compared to the earlier Q4 20.
Mr. Mittal, the CSR expenses, earlier the accounting policies or our circular was, the unspent should not be accounted for. This year we have accounted the CSR expenses, and therefore you will see the sharp rise there. And there's no other major increase in the expenses.
Got it.
If you see the line by line item which will be available there, you will be very happy to see that we were in a position to control a lot of expenses. Other than our expenses in our digital initiative, as Surujit has pointed out to you, we have invested in our investment operation. We have started using the Bloomberg, and that is a costly application to you. But we are proud to have that. Yes. So far as your point number three is concerned, VRS, we have no plan at this particular point of time, about VRS. You know, the world is facing different issues, but we have no plan at this particular point of time.
So your question is answered?
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on the quarter. I just had a clarification from the previous question. My line was a bit hazy. So regarding the employee expenses now, how do we think about employee expenses going forward? And was there a one-off which led to a sharp decline, some ESOP expense not being there, etc.?
Yeah. Over to you, Surjit.
Yeah. Firstly, I will speak in general and then I will come to your specific question. The employee cost is on the four pillars, that is managerial and non-managerial fixed cost, which you know should be on a declining trend with respect to the natural retirement schedule. Variable pay is a direct correlation to the business growth, and existing ESOP cost, which you all know that will be there for 21, 22 and 22, 23 for an amount of 13 crore and 4 crore respectively. And in respect of insurance and actuarial and other costs, there should not be a material impact in the current interest scenario. And your specific question in respect of the fall, these are for mainly because of the three reasons. The one is last quarter, in the, we had to take the ESOP cost during our IPO, which came in December 19. That ESOP was 10.5 crore, against which this current quarter we have only 3.5 because it has been amortized properly on every quarter. And variable pay, if you remember, in the month of the third quarter, we took a hit of around 45 crore. And since the actual KRA performance score has come, and based on that, our total amount which we reflected in our financials is 38 crore. So there is a reversal in respect of that. And our non-managerial provision, which you remember in the last wage settlement in March, we did a 12 crore provision, which is not there in this particular quarter. So the net of like 10.5 and from last year and 3.5 this year, so 7 crore in respect of ESOP expenses, variable pay, the net impact of the reversal is around 14.5 crore, and the non-managerial provision, which was not there, of 12 crore. This together is 33.5 crore, which you see the Q4 impact from 74 to 110.
And the going forward,
as I already said in the beginning, it will have a declining trend because of our natural retirement schedule. And obviously, you all know that ESOP cost, which is there in this particular financial, is around 30 crore, which will be around 13 crore next year. So there will be a downtrend in the employee cost.
Got it.
We are trying our best to manage the employee cost, and I can see the fixed cost, there is a stability now. The fixed cost is not increasing. Variable pay will all largely depend upon the performance. And I think as we perform better, we need to pay them, key employees better.
Understood. So secondly, till last quarter, you all used to publish the quarterly net sales across different products. I could not find it in this PPT. Do you all plan to stop publishing it? Because that was actually pretty useful and unique to you all.
It is there. If you see the presentation on the exchanges as well as on our website, it is there on page number 8.
Page number 8. Okay.
Yeah, there was an earlier version which making the PDF it got cut off, but we have put a revised presentation there.
Okay. Maybe I'm
fresh. You'll get
the older one. Okay. Fair enough. And so, just lastly, one question now: as you all are gaining scale in several funds, and when you cross particular thresholds, your TER automatically reduces, right? Now, when that reduces, does everything get passed on to the distributor? Do your margins remain intact with size, or do you all have to bear that hit?
No, I think the endeavor will be to pass on the impact of the TER reduction to the distributor. And but that may happen with a lag of a quarter or so. But the whole idea is to pass on the TER impact loss to the distributor in form of a reduced sale commission only.
So we will not bear any hit.
No.
Got it. Okay, that's all from mine. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Madhukar Ladha from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on a good set of numbers, and thanks for taking my question. First, just on the employee expenses part. I think you mentioned, I missed out a little bit. I think you mentioned some non-managerial reason, and the amount was roughly about 13 crores. Can you repeat that reason?
Yeah, in the last quarter of March 20, we had a non-managerial settlement for which we had to provide 12 crores in the books of accounts, which are not there in this particular fourth quarter. So that difference is 12 crores.
Understood. We had the 5 years pay settlement with our non-managerial staff that got over in December 29, and therefore the negotiation was done and it was accounted for. This year, it has already gone into the system and no fresh, provisioning for that. Yeah. Next, Madhukar. Next,
got it.
So now the settlement is we'll not have a fresh rate hike, fresh salary hike for non-managerial level for 5 years. Is my understanding right? Until FY25, or that number is fixed?
There is a waste settlement, a fixed waste settlement, and no negotiation at this particular point of time. No, it's not. Yes, it's fixed for 5 years. Yeah.
It's so the increment is fixed for 5 years, right?
Yes.
That is,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. Can you share a little bit of details around the employee numbers in FY20 versus FY21, and how fast can we see some more reduction happening over here?
The employee number is different, but how fast is that? Vinay, you please answer this question. The trend, Vinay.
Yeah, Madhukar, I think in our earlier call also we have given a direction that over the period of next 4 years, we do see a cumulative saving of roughly around 65 to 70 crore because of retirement of our employees. And this saving is even after considering the replacement cost will be in form of a management graduate. After a period of 4 years, we are looking at a reduction in the employee cost of roughly around 10 to 15% on an annual basis thereafter. So, and that 10 to 15% on the current annual wage bill of around 300 crore.
So, should we not be expecting this, a gradual reduction every quarter? Should that be the trajectory? Should we?
It will happen, but that reduction may not be linear. It depends on the number of employees retiring in each quarter. So, but yes, over a period of next 2 to 3 years, on a year-on-year basis, you will see the reduction. But quarter on quarter, it may be a little bit erratic depending on the number of employees retiring.
Got it. I also wanted to know the amount of the inter-branch service fees for the quarter. Can you share that number?
Yeah, Madhukar, in respect of the, I'm just telling you for the annual for the timing, it's last year it was 26 crore and this year it is 27 crore for 12 months.
Okay, I can back calculate that.
Yeah.
And can you also give me your closing AUM for the different asset classes, equity, debt, liquid, others?
Yeah, I'll give that number. As on 31st March, our closing AUM is 1.76 lakh crore. For equity, it is 51,985 crore. For hybrid fund, is 22,725 crore. ETF, 42,381 crore. Income fund 23,325 crore, and liquid fund 36,381 crore, totaling to 1.76 lakh crore.
Got it. That's it from my side. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ajox Frederick from BNK Securities. Go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. So sorry to harp on this again. Employee expenses, so versus this year, next year, of course, we'll be saving around 17 crores on the ESOP. So, and another 12 crores is saved on the non-managerial side. So that will be 30 crore direct saving versus FY21 numbers. Am I right? Or is there something else that we have to
I didn't get your question properly.
Sorry, on the employee expense side, we will be saving 17 crores because of the ESOP differential versus 21. And the non-managerial side, we're saying being around 12 crores versus this year, or how should I read that?
Yeah. No, no, 12 crores was provided in March 20 in respect of the areas. So which that provision is not there in the current financial year, in March 21. That is 12 crores what we said.
Okay, so is that the ESOP thing which we have to factor in?
Yeah, ESOP is different, yes.
Yeah, okay, so probably we'll get a saving of 17 crores from the usual run rate which we do.
Yes, in respect of ESOP, yes.
Yeah, okay, sir. That's number one. Number two, sir, can you share the new customer addition you have done on the retail side in FY21? Because some of our peers have told that their adding almost 50% of the new industry customers. So what has been your addition?
Yeah, Ajox, so during the last financial year, we have added approximately 5.20 lakh new folios. And in this quarter, that is quarter four, we have added about 2.07 lakh new folios.
And these are not unique customers, right? These are new folios. Okay. Got it. Sir, and I just have one more question. With respect to SIP share, I did hear a sir telling me it was around 5.03% market share. Given that we have a decent exposure in B30, and our market share is improving consistently on the equities front, why is our SIP share not beyond the average share of our business?
Our SIP market share was 3%. From there, it has gone to 5% 1 year. So it is our focused area of our business, and we have a dedicated team in our office. And they are driving these SIPs, and we have various strategies to drive the SIP. Right. So SIP is our key focused area.
Mm-hmm.
Just to add one number, in terms of new SIP registered, in number of count, we have registered a growth of 62% in this particular financial year, as compared to industry growth rate during the same period at 20%.
Okay, that is very helpful. That's it from me, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pravesh Jain from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. This is Pravesh Jain from Yes Securities. Firstly, on the retirement solutions business, as per the PFRDA document, only UTI Retirement Solutions in the first bracket got 0.07% yield, while rest everyone got 0.09%. So while the impact is very minuscule, but what was the reason for UTI getting that lower yield? And the second question on the UTI retirement solutions itself is, where do we invest the surplus money of in that company? And lastly, on the employee cost for the company, overall company, could you give us a breakdown of the managerial fixed, non-managerial fixed, and the variable component for last year, and any take on the announcement by SEBI last night? Yeah, that would be my four questions. Thanks.
Okay, so let me reply to our retirement solution. Your question is, if I got it right, is why we have got 5 bps and others have got 7 bps and 9 bps. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. See, there are various slabs up to 10,000 and level. There are 5, 6, 7 slabs are there. So our yield is the same. Our yield is the same as of our competitors. And we consciously decided for the first 10,000, in order to give and share our goodwill with our old investors, in retirement solution we will charge less. That is the reason we have decided to charge less. As you may recall, we are a pioneer in this particular industry, and therefore we wanted to pay it back to the investor. That was the strategy. Overall, it did not impact at all our profitability, and not much. So far as your, was you asking that how you are going to manage the cash of RSL?
Yes.
That question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. See, it is, as of today, it is 100% subsidiary of UTIMC. So whatever the cash is there, you know, it gets consolidated to the UTIMC balance sheet, and there's not much impact. Going forward, the board of UTRSL will take a serious call, and if required, they will pay the dividend to the parent, to the company or the shareholders. And what was your third question?
Sir, it was regarding the employee cost. Can we get a breakdown?
Yeah, what is the breakup of managerial and non-managerial and variable pay? So managerial salary is 168 crore, non-managerial salary is 66 crore, and variable pay is 38 crore. You wanted this breakup?
Yeah, and also any take on what was announced last night with regards to the 20% mandatory the salary payouts to in the form of MF units. Any take on that?
I will not comment upon that. This is a SEBI regulation and it is applicable not only to UTI for all AMCs. And they are our regulator. I need to respect that. So I have nothing to offer, no comments to offer on this.
So rather, my question is pertaining to the impact. So whether you will just give it in the form of units, or what are you guys thinking in the sense of, you know, employees, because employees might be getting impacted because of this, right?
I am saying I have nothing to comment. It came around 8:30 in the night. The circular is in front of me. I can read it, you can hear, but we need to analyze, understand it. We'll have to read it, and we will go to the AMC board. AMC will look into this one, and accordingly, the AMC will give the best practices guidelines. Mm-hmm. So that is the only comment I can offer. I have no comments to offer on the SEBI regulation. They are the regulator. We must respect that.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Gulati from Haitong. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, on the other expense for Q4, sir, we see it as 55 versus 36 Q4 FY20 last year. So can you please let us know what is the reason for this? And also, sir, on the dividend payout, sir, is there any strategy to sort of increase the payout, or is it going to be, or is there an update on that, sir?
So if we take the
question. Yeah, in respect of the first question, last year it was other income was 36 crore, and this year it is 30 crore. It is mainly because the major expense in this is the GST, which is last year was 26 and this year is 27. But in respect of last financial year, there was an exchange gain in the consolidated financials of 4.25. That is why it's 36 crores. And this year, there is a non-profit income write-back was done. So accordingly, it is 30 crores. So main difference is because of the foreign exchange gain, which was there in the last year.
So, sorry, on the other expense, it is 55 crores this quarter, right?
This quarter.
So Q4 FY21 is 55 versus 36 Q4 FY20.
One minute. Yeah, that is mainly because I told you because of that CSR expenses which came this particular quarter of around 9 crores.
So anything on the dividend payout strategy, sir?
See, dividend, it was a very good dividend which the company has declared. We've gone up from rupees 7 to 17. We've gone up from 28% to 62%. At this particular point of time, the board has approved this. And as you know, this is a prerogative of the board to approve on year-on-year basis. As per our policy, we have said that the board may declare the dividend, considering the other factors, and the minimum dividend board may declare is 50% of our profit. That is very clear policy which we have laid out. At this particular point of time, I congratulate the shareholders or investors. That is a very good dividend without board has declared, subject to the approval of shareholders.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jani from Centrum. Please go ahead.
Thank you for my question, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Harping a bit more on the employee front, so I think for the last quarter, we have added about 51 employees. Firstly, are these the management trainees that you are alluding to? Basically, they would be there on a lower salary base. Is that the correct assumption?
Yeah, they are the graduate trainees. Vinay, over to you. Vinay.
That's the correct assumption. And we are hiring these graduate training and management graduate also at lower level. So that's the guidance that we have given, that we'll be hiring at lower level, where we'll be saving a substantial amount of cost with the retirement that are taking place.
So going forward, so is it a correct assumption that you could probably add about 50 odd employees per annum, or this number may go up in the next year?
I think we will see the stability on new hires now. I think we have done the reasonable hirings in last 3 years, and this number may not be required. And all depends upon how we are expanding our business. But I think we have done the enough hiring to ensure that the attrition, which we see the natural attrition because of retirement and all, we have enough resources to meet our business need. Significant hiring will not be there now.
Sure. So coming to your consol numbers, you know, just a bookkeeping question on that. The tax rate for the quarter was about 12% only, and for the full year at 18. So, you know, what sort of assumptions do we make going forward? Firstly, the reason for the lower tax rate this quarter, and then, you know, what sort of a tax rate are we seeing for the full year for 2022?
Yeah, the March, firstly, let me just explain to you this. March 21 standalone effective tax rate was 23.19 and March 20 was 17.84. It was 17.84, as we all know, because there was a reduction in the corporate tax, and because of which there was a deferred tax advantage for us. And that is why March 20, the effective tax rate was 17.84. Now, coming to the console tax rate, for March 21, the effective tax rate was around 18.06, and March 20 was 19.04. Our console effective tax rate is less, mainly because of the UTI International. We have some accumulated loss, and Gansai, as you know, is a tax-free place, and Singapore also, there was some carry-forward loss. That is why our console effective tax rate is around 18 to 19%.
Sorry to interrupt,
Mr. Jani. So this is the operator. I would request you to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Jain from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So just on the UTI International assets, in the presentation it mentioned at one point 70% growth in those assets year over year. Could you just break that up into what is market value appreciation related, how much is flows, and what all is driving that growth?
UTI International, two important business which they have made a seed investment is in respect of India Debt Equity Fund, from which they
have. I think, see, the company has witnessed great growth. Our IDF, the flagship fund, is now $820 million. And we have seen the new subscription there. We have mobilized over $300 million in some other fund. We launched the ESG product, and we have mobilized $125 million. So we, that particular, mostly the new edition. There's a new edition, a new subscription. And I don't have the breakup number. If you want the detailed number, you can contact our investor servicing department, Sandeep Samsi, and he will send you the details. I don't have the very detailed breakup of the number. But we will be in a position to provide it to you.
Like just our IDF fund from 2,000 crore, it has gone to 6,000 crore in INR. And our one Jay Sarasar, this ESG fund which it has, it's around 900 crore. These are the two main.
How much is the market appreciation and the new?
Yeah, I got it, sir.
That is the question. So we can answer it separately.
Yeah, okay, sir.
Got it, so that is. Just from a data perspective, the quarterly average AUM, I hope I'm not missing it, but I can't find it in the presentation. So I can see the total and I can see equity plus balance. But if you could give the quarterly average AUM by segment, that would be very helpful.
Okay, so for the March quarter, we had a quarterly average AUM for 1.82 lakh crore, equity 50,751 crore, hybrid 22,367 crore. ETF 42,581 crore, income fund 24,092 crore, and liquid fund at 43,062 crore.
totaling to 1.82 lakh crores.
Got it. Thank you. Just the last thing. So the all these you've given a nice slide on digital platform flows. So that I assume will also include website and other platforms. So just curious, all these new app platforms like Grow and Paytm Money and so on, how large a part would they be contributing to new client acquisition or to flows, if it's possible to share?
Sandeep?
Yes. Hi, Aditya. So, Aditya, we have really increased well with the fintech companies like Grow, Kuvera, Fishdom, Paytm Money, ET Money, etc. And we have seen an increase in our SIPs. They are mainly SIP sellers, as you would know. And we have grown from 53,101 SIPs in FY 2019-20 to around 140,000 SIPs now. That is an increase of about 162%. And some of these are really growing leaps and bounds in the last 1 year, and we hope to continue our sales through them.
Got it. Thank you, Mandy. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Kunal Thanvi from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the decent set of numbers. So I had broadly two questions. One was on, can you throw some color on how the distribution engagement that we have been trying to reach out in last, 6 odd months have played out? Are negotiations with SBI still going on? We have seen any breakthrough there? And how we are looking, to leverage the fintech space in from the distribution point of view. That is point number one. Point number two is, sorry for the repetition, but there has been a lot of confusion over the call regarding the employee cost and other expenses in terms of, what is the right number to look at. So if you look at FY21, our employee cost is at, say, 380 crores and other expenses are at, say, 170, 169, 170 crores. How should one look at it from the sustainable basis, barring the one-time expenses that we had in FY21 on the account of ESOPs, non-managerial, settlement, performance-linked bonus, etc. What is the sustainable run rate in these two expenses over, say, next 2 years?
Okay. Distribution, I think, Sandeep, you should answer. And sustainability, Vinay and Suruji, please answer of the employee cost. Sandeep, go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, as I was mentioning, Kunal, fintechs have really increased in the last 1 year, and we are continuing our partnership with these fintechs. Now, as you would know, that the fintechs are very flexible and nimble-footed and need continuous customization. So, we have put in place a team at our digital marketing team to look at, interaction with the fintechs and ensure that we have the API gateways as well as the interfaces that are required with the fintech. So, that is how we have been able to, partner with the fintech and grow our share in SIPs and other products through them. Coming to the distribution partnership, this year we have seen a good amount of growth, though it was a very challenging year even for the banks and national distributors, when the banks are not opening. So even during this period, we have seen our market share in the equity products go up from about 1.54% to about 1.71% in the equity products of UTI. So we have seen engagement in the banking channel. And as Mr. Rahman had also mentioned in the last call that about your specific question on SBI, we are continuing to work with them. And we hope to, we will be there on their platform very soon. And as far as the other two banks which are concerned, as Mr. Rahman mentioned, PNB and Bank of Baroda, yes, we have seen good sales from both of these banks in our equity product.
Sure. When you say fintech, we have appointed our own team and we are, working closely to make sure the API is matched. Can you give some quantitative color how things have improved from the fintech channel in last 1 year?
Yes, sir. As I just mentioned earlier, that in our fintech platforms, we have got about now About 1,39,367 live SIPs as compared to 53,101 SIPs that we had in the previous year. That is an increase of about 162% through the growth in the fintech business.
Sure. Thanks. That is really helpful, Sandeep. Yes. My second question was on the cost structure. What is the sustainable run rate in the employee cost and other expenses going ahead?
I'll just give two directional numbers. First, with respect to ESOP, the current expense charge in the ESOP is close to around 30 crore. Next year, the ESOP cost will come down to roughly around 13 crore. Assuming no further ESOPs are being issued, so nothing as of now planned. And thereafter, I think 22-23 is roughly around 4.5 crore. So that then generates on the ESOP cost. In terms of employees, cost saving because of retirement, as we have indicated earlier, till 2023-24, we see a cumulative saving of roughly around 65 crore and odd on account of retirement, and this includes the replacement costs as well. And thereafter, from 2023-24 onwards, the employee cost saving could be roughly around 10% on our current annual wage bill on the standalone basis of around 300 crore.
In respect of the other expenses, as we are very conscious on the cost control in our business operations from Q4 2020 onwards, we have strictly monitoring each item of expenses. The objective is to enhance our efficiency in the operations while controlling costs. In view of the stringent measures, we have been able to keep the expenses run rate around 24 crore in Q1, Q2, Q3 of 2021. However, for the Q4, the amount went up due to some annual payments of the digital initiatives, which were important. While we are focused on increasing our distribution reach and digital outreach, we are taking a conservative approach as regards to opening more UFCs. We will be judicious in our approach and will open additional office only if it makes a business case for us. In the present scenario, we are enhancing our engagement with distributors and strengthening tie-ups with banks and third-party distributions. We have also sharpened our focus on BDS. Going forward, we'll continue to analyze each item of the expenditure to rationalize our cost on a sustained basis. Like, we are very hopeful of keeping the this run rate.
Sure, thanks. On the other expense, it was helpful. On the employee cost, just again, sorry to bother you again. The thing is that when you know, gave the break...
This is the operator. Sir, I would request you to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions.
Sure, thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Ladha from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, I just wanted to understand on the pension fund, sir. The regulator has increased the fee.
Yes.
Can you give some indication, sir, how much fees we will be charging in FY22 on the pension fund and how much was fees charged in FY21, sir? So what could be the increase in the fees and what impact would it have on our top line or on PBT?
First question, our CFO can answer both the questions. See, it is an easy calculation. You can please take the number which is already in the public domain and calculate and take the AUM and the number comes out for the future earning. Okay, Aaron, go ahead.
No, sir. Tell me, sir.
And for the past year, Surjit, what is the...
Last year, RSL total income was around 15 crore. And this year we expect it to be in the, it will be, I don't know, as a future statement, I will be able
I
to
don't
make
know, about hold that. On, hold on.
Okay, please. Okay. Sir,
yeah. Anand is a very smart analyst, he can calculate.
So just as a simple thing, sir, last year we were charging 1 bip as a fees. This year we'll be charging 5 bips as a fees.
No, they're very flat, sir. They're 5 or 6.
Yeah, but effectively it comes to around 5 bips, sir.
Yeah, you are right. Yes. Yeah, and you know the AUM, you can calculate.
Sir, if I had to look at other subsidiary business, be it UTI International, be it other AUM of other subsidiaries, and the top line, if I had to look at for this year, so effectively our excluding the standalone performance, the subsidiaries have reported a revenue of 80 crore rupees for the full year, and the OPEX of the subsidiary are also similar, sir, closer to 85 crore, sir. So, So if you can give some color, like despite they being achieving critical size, we don't make a lot of money on our subsidiary businesses. So by when do you think we will be able to have some core profit? Or
good, good question. Let me take the biggest subsidiary, UTI International. UTI International is a very important subsidiary for us. And as you know, we had a very, very great product, our IFIF, fixed income product. And because of credit issues, we lost a significant amount of AUM. From $350 million, it came down to the $50 million. That placed a lot of challenges on the subsidiary's earnings. But good news is, from $200 million to $250 million, the IDF has crossed almost $800 million, around $820 million, if I remember. So this business is very profitable, and we are investing. We are investing heavily in our ESG strategies, and we will continue to invest. When it will be very profitable, I believe that next year, 2021-22, and next year is going to be a good year.
Okay. Fine, sir. So last question, sir, on the dividend policy, sir. Sir, if I had to look at our dividend payout on consolidated basis, it is less than 50%, sir. So just want to understand what is the thought of process of the board. They wanted to pay dividend on standalone basis, or they look at consolidated profit and pay dividend on that basis? That's for my
sake. Till this year, it is the standalone basis, because it goes declared by Indian Companies Act account. So we have declared as per the standalone basis. Going forward, the entire policy says on the standalone basis. This is a good question which you are raising. We will deliberate internally. Anand?
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all my thing.
Thank you. The last question is from the line of Viraj from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. I just have two broader questions. I mean, first is on the retirement solution business. Just trying to understand this business, nature of this business a bit better. So there are a couple of questions there. One is, you know, in last couple of years, we've seen majority of the mandates which are given to government-owned majority AMCs, including us. Now we are seeing a very increase in intensity in competition. There are new players which have entered. So how should we understand our play in this segment? That is part one. And part two is, you know, if you were to better understand this existing book of around 1.6 lakh crore, this would be typically a 3 or 5 year mandate, right? So if that is the case, then how much of this book is up for a rebidding in next 1 year? What are the factors which go for a rebid? And what is the mix in terms of government and non-government mix in corpus right now?
See, there's too many questions. So one question, one is, for how many years this will be there? It's all about the agreement, and there's nothing like that. After 3 years, the entire business will go away. There has to be some continuity. Agreement speaks about it, and I have no clarity at this particular point of time, but I believe that there's a continuity there. The breakup between the government, non-government business, if my colleagues have the data, they will give it to you, is going to be a very profitable business for us. Extremely profitable. So far as the expansion of the new investors, new asset managers are concerned, pension fund managers, I think it is a welcome move by the PFRDA of impaneling more number of players in this one. Competition is good, and we welcome the competition. The large number of Indians don't have any pension options now, retirement benefits. It's good for our nation, and I'm very happy that more number of participants has come. Should we do a breakup of the government and non-government business, what we have with us, or we can give them the offline?
We have to give them offline, sir.
Okay, so just two things there. Usually these mandates, which when they are given to us, are they, you know, when the mandate is given, it's more about the number of accounts or beneficiaries, or it's rather on a total AUM basis? So the reason I'm asking is this. annually we see, you know, there's an annual contribution to NPS and the likes, which these beneficiaries they make, right? So there's a natural flow in terms of addition to it. So we manage the accounts per se, or we manage the overall AUM in terms of that in quantum. So that is one. And second is there any change in cost structure we would have to, so in terms of investments or anything, we would have to make to support this growth in AUM which we are seeing?
Okay, I will take the cost part. I'm the chairman of the particular company. We have basically had the right resources. We have already put in place all the required resources in place. One or two competencies we may have to add. Otherwise, this company is fully established with the right infrastructure, right office space or IT infrastructure, or the team is concerned. So I'm not visualizing a very large expenses so far as the infrastructure or team is concerned. So cost-wise, it's going to be similar. Another question, Surjit, do you have any answer for that?
Yeah, in respect of the next question, where you want the clarification, whether it's on the transaction or if the fees is based on the AUM.
So what I meant is we manage the beneficiaries' accounts, right? So every year, there's a natural flow in terms of contribution.
It does not the AUM is basically it is the AUM basically which comes AUM based on the AUM allocation is based on the AUM. Yes.
No. What I meant is the mandate which has been given to us. We at the end we are managing those amount which we are managing. We are managing those individual beneficiaries.
No, we are not managing
that will come to us automatically.
No, we are not managing those beneficiaries. We are managing the AUM, right? Okay. So, and indeed, underneath there is a beneficiary. So, we don't have the beneficiary details. We only have the AUM of those beneficiaries.
So, annually, when there is a contribution by those beneficiaries to the NPS, would that naturally come to us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And this last one part, you said the breakup in terms of employee cost for managerial, non-managerial, so roughly comes to 270 crores now. The total employee cost is roughly 370. So what is the difference?
That is, Surajit, it looks like the consolidated employee cost.
Yeah.
Breakup.
Yeah, 1 minute. Yeah, the consolidated employee cost is 380 basically, and out of that, you know, UTI AMC is 340, 342, UTI RSL it's 2.57, UTI Capital is around 5.85, and UTI International is around 30. So total employee cost is around 380 crores.
No, what I meant is in terms of manager and non-manager, the variable breakup which you gave.
The managerial is it's only in standalone. That is only in UTI AMC we have the managerial, non-managerial breakup.
Okay. Got it. Okay, yeah. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Imtiazur Rahman for closing comments.
So thank you so much for participating in this call. We are really grateful to you for your participation and asking questions. And I request all of you to take good care of your health, your family health. Stay safe and stay healthy. God bless all of you. And thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of UTS
Thank you.
This conference. Thank you for joining us, and you will now disconnect.
Thank you.